Hello, hello, and welcome to The Good Shit. The Good Shit is sponsored by you, and you, and you, and you. This episode's feature reward is the Small Talk Sheet. Never have nothing to talk about again? Comfort t-shirt with The Good Shit intro printed on the front. Welcome to The Good Shit. Available on a gray, white, orange or yellow background. Receive this reward and browse others at the More Colors Inside store, linked in this episode's description. Now I'm going to go back to one of the previous episodes about this post by someone at Bloomberg talking about there being more women than men at university in America, and how apparently there was this very simple reason for it, which is that boys behave badly, whatever that means. Anyway, I thought it was just so bizarre to paint essentially people's entire lives, because whether and how you go to university is more or less an extension of what you did at school, which is an extension of, you know, your whole school life is kind of one big blob, right? It doesn't necessarily have these clear steps or cornerstones. It is just kind of a fluid process. If you're a bad student, you're just, you know, you're going to stop right there, or If you're a good student, you're going to keep being a good student. Yeah, these things are quite interconnected. But I actually thought a bit about that. And I thought, you know, what if 20 years from now, so I'm trying to think how old I will be 20 years from now, because it seems like such an abstraction. And it's like, okay, well, are you going to be alive? And how old would you be? I'm like, okay, anyway, 20 years from now, I will have 5 boys and they will be awful, badly behaved, horrific, handful, annoying, just bad, right? I'm almost slightly excited about that. I'm almost kind of wanting that. I'm like, that sounds kind of cool. But anyway, and I think back to this statement of, oh, there is a reason for it. This is the reason for it. And then I have a personal experience that 1,000,000% confirms this, because this is people's favorite way of fact creation, is basically their life. Like, oh, my life is the oracle of knowledge of everyone, of everything ever. This is what facts are. They're actually my personal experiences. And so my personal experience would validate 1,000,000,000,000%. I would just say, I got 5 kids. They are all horrendous. Therefore, yes, it is true. Boys are shit and they behave badly. And there is no way they're going to go to university and be well behaved and academic and obedient. And I'm just like, who invented academia? Like, I'm pretty sure it was a bunch of men. I don't even understand the concept of having this issue of academia being male created and dominated, and then having women joining it, and then figuring out that actually women should have done it because they're actually better at it anyway. And it's like, I don't even understand what this conversation is. Is it a conversation about who's better at it? Is it a conversation of who happened to do it? Does it matter who created it? Does it matter? Yeah, it's all so messy. But anyway, let's just say, in my experience, in 20 years' time, it is 100% true. Boys are horrendous. I totally get it. I buy into it, you know. I don't think it is a matter of whether it is true, this statement. And let me remind you of this statement. This statement said, it didn't just say this is the statistic. It then said, Why are girls better at school? It's simple. Boys' bad behavior. And I thought, what a ridiculous, completely crazy statement. But let's imagine that my personal experience is that, you know what, I have found that all my five boys are badly behaved. This must be true. What on earth? But my point is, that's not the point. It doesn't matter whether it is true, completely true, mostly true, kind of true, partially true, sort of true. That's not the point. The point is, you should not be making such a generalization to begin with, no matter how few people it applies to or it doesn't apply to. Because to those people, this is going to be very detrimental. And even on other topics, I think the theme of not generalizing based on gender is pretty strong. Why would you take something so broad and try to bring it down to gender? I don't understand. I actually accidentally came up with the word genderalize. Don't genderalize. Do not generalize based on gender. Don't genderalize. It was funnier when I came up with it. But I wrote it down and I said, you know, this is freaking good. I'm going to use it. Don't genderalize. Those people are going to be affected by it. And it does not make any sense whatsoever. Whether it was generalizing that women were stupid or whether it is generalizing that men are stupid, it's just... You're talking about education, you're talking about ideas, you're talking about knowledge, you're talking about a fundamental brain activity that hopefully everyone, or at least most people, can and do engage with as part of our lives. This started with literacy, the freaking alphabet. That was a long time ago, okay? That was a long time ago. How you educate and to what end is a creative question. It's a creative question. If you are in a conflict, you're going to have a war education or a physical education. If you are in Greece, you're going to have a different education. I'm talking about ancient Greece. If you are in multicultural, interdisciplinary London, you're going to have a different education. There is no way that you can try to generalize what education is supposed to be. Yes, you can make education a pen-pushing exercise. Or you can make education an obedience exercise. Or you can make education a creative exercise. You can make education an applied exercise. A real life exercise of learning how to cook and clean and fix cars. You can make it into an abstract exercise of academic debate, writing essays. Do you know what? I don't even accept the premise that there is any definition of higher education or any education that can ever be generalized to anything for any purpose, including gender-based differences. There is no way possible that you can say such total fucking garbage as boys are smarter than girls. Girls are smarter than boys. Boys are stronger than girls. Girls are more well-behaved than boys. Boys are better leaders. Girls, and don't chat shit to kids. Don't chat shit to freaking children about their lives, their purpose, their identity, their ability, their value. You cannot do that. Don't do that. Don't do it. What an unnecessary, horrific, awful thing to do. Totally unnecessary bullshit. Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, if I did, in 20 years from now, have the most awfully behaved, whatever that means, there is a use for everything. I know maybe that's rose-colored glasses, but I do 100% believe that. I believe that 100%. I got this sofa, this cane sofa, outdoor sofa recently, and bear with me, it is relevant to this conversation. it didn't fit through the door because it was too wide. And it's got these sort of 4-inch feet. And they were just too, you know, it was just too much. It was not going to fit through the bloody door. So I tried opening a window, pushing it through a window. It wasn't going to happen. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have to chop these feet off. And it should still be able to stand on its own. We don't need the feet. It's fine. It doesn't matter. We'll just cut them off anyway. So I found this old bread knife. And I tried seeing how difficult it was to try to cut these feet off. And it was actually doable. But this material was very, very dense and bendy. Gooey almost. Like gooey wood is what this material felt like. Because I thought I could cut into it a little bit and then maybe use a hammer to snap it off. Because wood, I would expect, you know, it's not wood, of course, but from wood, I thought, okay, this thing might snap off. It didn't because it's really sort of gooey and it sort of bends. It doesn't snap. So I tried cutting into it. I was getting a little bit tired. It was at the end of the day. I'd already just had enough of this thing already. And then my mum came along and said, you know, let me have a go. Now, for context, most men talk about their mothers would conjure up an image of a little old lady. Why would a little old lady try to have a go at something physical that you try doing as a grown man, thinking that she was going to do it better? Okay, well, this is not the reality of my image. My mother is taller than me, weighs more than me, is not that old yet. So in terms of strength, she can absolutely probably do better things than me. She's got bigger hands than me and whatnot. So that is the image of this situation. I just started cutting with a lot more vigor, right? And I thought, you know, there's something in this. And I thought, I'm going to rile her up. I'm going to tell her to take out all her anger. She has a lot of anger. My mother has got a lot of negative energy. And I tried to kind of remind her of all these situations and all these people that made her angry. And I sort of, you know, think about this and think about that and think about that. And she was just cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting. And I just loved seeing this. And I was indirectly kind of taking out all this energy. And even though physically I had enough of trying to do this cutting myself, I felt a renewed power and strength by just inspiring my mother to do it instead, and her really getting into it. Eventually we managed. 1 foot. There's 5 feet left to do, but of course I'm going to go and get a proper saw to do it more easily than with a freaking bread knife. But the moral of that story is there is nothing good in that pure hate. There's nothing good about when my mother insults people or is negative and hateful and, you know, this energy is bad. Okay, you can see how in itself it is negative. But it is a source of energy nonetheless. So if you can transmute it into something else, for example, physical strength, perseverance, then you can put it to good use. So I would not see these imaginary five badly behaved boys as, oh, well, this is a shame, they're not going to go to Harvard. Sad face. I would try to see a use for that and a potential for that. There's all these stories that people tell of them being misjudged as children. Boys being called faggots, you know, growing up to be superstars, musicians, actors, whatever. All this theme of kind of seeing something in a child and hating it and thinking it's crap and it's rubbish and, you know, fuck that, it's awful, get rid of it. That actually turns out to be the source for their inspiration and for their creativity and motivation, and how inappropriate it is for adults to try to get rid of that and punish that. Now, that's not to say, and I have seen this, and that pisses me right off, that you can tell I probably won't do super, super well with these imaginary five badly behaved boys. But that's not to say you should be one of those psychopathic people who encourages their child to go and torment pigeons, chase them and, you know, trample over them. And what is up with that? You know, that is sick. That is sick and twisted. Oh, God, you see some awful things out there, some awful things. But, you know, this is me thinking in terms of an academic school, university setting. Obviously, at university, that doesn't make any sense because you're a grown-up. You're an adult at university. You know? But in school, you're a child. And what is bad behavior in children? You know, the thing is, you can set up school however you want to set it up. You can easily set it up so that it is more physical or less physical. You can set it up to be more punishment-based or more reward-based. It is entirely up to you how you want to design this boot camp, because it is a boot camp. And as the saying goes, you cannot judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree. Whew. Yeah, it's funny to see people who have two kids and they're like, well, I have a girl and a boy and I can tell there's such a difference, and I have two boys and I know everything about boyness. And I was just like, okay, you know a handful of people. Calm down. It doesn't mean you've come into some universal knowledge about everything just because you have two kids. Good gracious. I have two kids and this is what everything is based on. But seriously, if I do have five misbehaved boys, to be honest, it sounds quite fun, I'm not going to lie. I could quite easily go into a sort of related topic of, let's say, this misbehavior kind of turning criminal, right? criminal in itself being an extremely subjective, relative concept. You might be like, what do you mean? Crime is crime. It's like, please, crime is relative. White collar crime, whatever colored collar crime, crime is relative. Crime is relative. What is a crime? You know, most people think of a personal attack. They envision themselves being mutilated. That's what crime is. Is it? Is it about money? Is it about abuse? Is it about power? What is crime? You know, it's not as simple as that. But we do go into a recently very controversial, similar topic of toxic masculinity and whether masculinity is inherently or entirely toxic. I think that's a complete misunderstanding. Toxic masculinity, linguistically, is equivalent to green apples. It doesn't mean apples are inherently green, and it doesn't mean all apples are green. It's simply referring to those apples which are green. Toxic masculinity is referring to the masculinity that is toxic. And I don't think anyone has trouble figuring out which masculinity is toxic. Pretty self-explanatory. But people taking issue with that. And I did watch the Gillette ad that has been very controversial. It basically talks and portrays toxic masculinity, talks about it. There are multiple scenarios where it plays out, and it basically says men should fix that and address it and all of this. And I do think it's an unfortunate case of the wrong message in the wrong format, in the wrong medium, in the wrong audience. There's nothing wrong with the content itself. It's valid content. There's nothing wrong with any specific element of it. It's been put together in the wrong way. The overall package is bad because Gillette is a huge brand. So if it's going to have an ad, it's going to have to be generic enough that it matches the fact that it's a big brand. For it to try to delve into the layers of toxic masculinity and gender roles and Me Too doesn't seem appropriate. It seems like it doesn't match the medium. It's not going to work. There's too much going on. It's trying to say too much. It's trying to say some men have behaved badly, or society has certain issues relating to gender or relating to masculinity. Therefore, you must do this and not do that, and this is how it plays out. And it makes, almost by accident, it makes certain connections that are not finessed enough for the audience to accept. Especially when the audience is men, especially when the audience is men that do not see themselves as part of any or all of those scenarios highlighted in the ad, and especially when the brand is supposed to represent their point of view, which to them would be somewhat more nuanced than that content, primarily because of the accusations. No one identifies themselves as a problem. No one thinks I am a man, which means I'm a problem. No one thinks I'm female, I am a problem. It is uncomfortable to primarily see your identity as a problem. So you try to cushion it and try a slightly different angle. It's not that those things aren't a problem. It's that, you know, they're just kind of brought in the wrong way. And when you bring something in the wrong way, you are going to trigger a knee-jerk defense. It doesn't matter what the content is. It doesn't matter if it's right, wrong, factually correct, factually. It doesn't matter. The point is, you're activating the wrong spot. And even the most woke guy is still going to have a fundamental problem with having no picture of himself that is something other than a bad thing. And in those examples, it was all just kind of a bad thing. It was the lack of something as opposed to the presence of something. Oh, being a man is about not allowing other people to do bad things. Being a man is about not doing this, not doing that, not doing this. It's just a bit negative, right? And the funny thing is that this watch company saw a brilliant opportunity in the wake of the controversy to make this other video. I do think it's very cheap of them to have taken advantage of the situation. Very smart, genius, but a little bit cheap. A cheap shot, really, for them to take. Also, another problem I have is these things are not on the same level. Their video was about men sacrificing themselves for others in different ways. My problem with that is these conversations are not part of the same thing. And I think a summary of this might be, is it morally acceptable for a man who has been at war to feel entitled to raping a woman? Is it morally acceptable for a man who has done difficult things in his work to be abusive to his family? Is it, you know, that becomes the question, is how do you see your entitlement based on what you sacrifice? And I think that is much more relevant than it seems, because at war, that is exactly the logic. The logic is no man would ever kill himself or put himself in danger or do something difficult without some sort of a reward. And in that context of the war, the reward is obviously a woman who is probably going to get raped. So there is no space for civilized consent, right? There's no space for that. And I think I see a lot of, you know, good old-fashioned family, you know, the good old days or whatever. And it does seem that there is a connection between the husband going to work and him feeling entitled to something for it, and how rape is still and used to be accepted in marriage. Oh, you cannot rape your wife. If you're married, by definition, it cannot be rape. And this mismatch between the man's perspective that he has done something, he has sacrificed something to earn something, and then the woman's perspective of not directly being aware of his point of view, and therefore, as far as she's concerned, this is just a horrible man who's raped her, right? So, anyway, that's totally, that is totally, totally off topic. I do say that I do intersperse these topics as they come and go, as I find them in real life. They're very crisscross. It's a mosaic of different themes. Thank you for listening. Now go back to the Good Sheet info page and write your review. By this point, you know why. Because I look forward to reading them.